WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
How do you know if you're registered to vote? Where do I get my mail-in ballot? Is it better to vote early? Today, all your voting questions are answered. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Whether it's your first or your 20th time voting, there are some basics to go over. For a Voter 101 crash course, we turn to Matt Dietrich, Public Information Officer of the Illinois State Board of Elections, and Max Bever, Director of Public Information at the Chicago Board of Elections. I began by asking Max how voters can tell if they're registered.
So it's a very important question right now. We have tens of thousands of people who are calling our office in Chicago, making sure that they're registered to vote. My first bit of advice, go to chicagoelections.gov, go to your voter information webpage, put your information in there, see if you are registered, and check where your closest early voting sites are, your vote by mail options, and your precinct polling place. If you're not yet registered, you have two different options at this point. You can still get registered online. If you have a state ID, you can go to the Illinois State Board of Elections portal for that. But you can also use same-day registration. That's available now at our two downtown early voting locations in Chicago and will be available at all of our 50 ward early voting sites that open next Monday, October 21st. What you're going to need is two forms of ID, one with your current address on them, that you can get registered on site and then vote on site using same-day registration at our early voting sites.
And if someone has maybe moved, you know, within Chicago, but moved in the past month or two, I mean, do they need to change registrations or do they vote with the old address?
That's an important thing to check right now, is that if you have recently moved or changed your name, you will need to get that updated. However, if you move less than 30 days before the election, that's in this period right now, you're going to be voting using your old address. So you can go to your previous precinct polling place, or you can check in using that previous address at any early voting site. However, you can also use same-day registration to update that on the spot and then vote too. So ultimately, if you have moved in, say, the last 3 or 4 months, haven't gotten that updated yet, you can use same-day registration to take care of that for yourself.
Yeah, and you just gave a list of all the things that folks need to be able to register to vote. But if someone is doing this for the very first time, Max, I just want to be clear. I mean, what information will they need to be able to do so?
So you'll need two forms of ID. You don't necessarily need a state ID, although that is helpful, and you can use that to register online. But you're going to need two things that prove your residency. One that's got your name on it with your new address. That can be a lease, that can be a bill, that can be a mortgage. And then you're going to need some type of picture ID, too, or another form of ID. A passport works for that. Another form of ID, ultimately, with your name and address on it.
Yeah.
You can go to chicagoelections.gov, go to register to vote. You'll see the acceptable forms of ID, but ultimately bring what you can and make sure that you get registered or that you've updated your address before election day.
And Matt, how does this apply statewide for folks who are registering to vote for the first time?
Same rules that Max just explained. The main difference would be that instead of starting off at the Chicago Board of Election Commissioner's site, go directly to elections.il.gov. That's the State Board of Elections website. And right there on the landing page, you'll see the online registration tab. You can click that and it will start you through the process. As Max said, you do need to have either an Illinois driver's license or a Secretary of State issued state non-driving ID to use the online portal. And that's because that's where your signature comes from. It'll come from your driver's license or your Secretary of State ID. But if you don't have either of those, you can still start off on the online registration, and then it will guide you for what to do to register if you don't have an Illinois driver's license or an Illinois state ID.
So here in Chicago, Max, where can people cast their ballot now?
So we're in a live voting session now. Both early voting and vote by mail is open, and people are casting their ballots. We've got two downtown early voting sites right now. Our super site at Clark and Lake at 191 North Clark Street. That's open daily through Election Day and even on Election Day. We also have our board offices at 69 West Washington on the sixth floor. Those are the two early voting locations that are open right now. Mm-hmm. But Monday, we have our 50 ward sites that open. That's one in each ward. And the nice thing about early voting in Chicago is that you can use any of these sites.
Right.
It's a vote anywhere program.
So that 69 Washington Avenue address that you just mentioned, suburban Cook County residents can vote downtown there as well.
That's true. The clerk, the Cook County Clerk's office also has an early voting location downtown. So there's a bit of a split between the city of Chicago and suburban. You've got two different election authorities. If you live within the city of Chicago, you're serviced by the Chicago Board of Elections. If you live in suburban Cook County, mm-hmm. you're serviced by the Cook County Clerk's office. So a distinction there. But we share a lot of similar sites. So they've got their downtown site open in the same building. They'll be expanding their early voting site starting Monday the 21st too. But for Chicagoans, this is really when we start to see our early vote ballots start to pour in, tens of thousands of each day. We have a pretty strong vote by mail contingency so far too. We've had over 250,000 applications. We've already gotten 32,000 of those vote by mail ballots back. And that's important because as soon as you get that vote by mail ballot, we want it back as soon as possible because we want to process it. We want to make sure that it's ready to be counted for election.
Turn it in fast, folks. Note, the collar counties have several early voting locations currently open. So residents of Will County can head to the county clerk's office in Joliet. If you're in McHenry County, Woodstock is your destination. In Kendall County, head to Oswego or Waukegan. Lake County voters can cast their ballots in person at the Lake County Courthouse in Waukegan on weekdays through October 18th. And Kane County has early voting available now in Geneva and Aurora. So, Matt, the DuPage County clerk reported record-breaking voter turnout on the first day of early voting. Over 1,500 votes were cast, according to the clerk, which is more than double the record that was set on the first day of early voting back in 2020. What else can you tell us now about turnout so far in collar counties and how it compares to previous years?
Well, taking a look at the statewide totals for early voting and voting by mail, we are a little above where we were in, let's say, 20. Well, first of all, let's back up. When we're talking about numbers, it's really hard to compare anything with what happened in 2020 because
right.
we had such an influx of people trying to vote early and voting by mail. But if you go back to the last quote unquote normal presidential election in 2016, mm-hmm. We are ahead statewide. We're ahead a little bit, about 93,000 votes cast early so far in person, about 88,000 back in 2016. So that's upticked a little bit. The really remarkable thing that I think we're going to see this election, and I think this is going to be a trend going forward too, is that voting by mail is much, much more popular now than it was back in 2016. At this point in 2016, voters had only requested about 266,000 vote by mail ballots. They had returned just over 50,000.
Yeah.
As of right now in Illinois, we've had more than a million ballots sent to voters, vote by mail ballots, more than a million sent to voters. We've already had about 115,000 of those returned and voted. So that is, you know, that's a huge change from what we saw back then, back in 2016. Now, of course, 2020 was really an outlier because we saw 2 million votes cast by mail, 2 million cast early, and 2 million cast on Election Day, which is really the inverse of what it normally had been. Usually you would have seen about two-thirds, 70% of the vote cast on election day, and the rest of it split by mail and voting early.
Yeah, yeah, very different. And I'm glad you pointed that out. It really is hard to compare a lot of what's happening this year to 2020 because so many things were happening at the same time. Max, you gave us some numbers a moment ago. Early votes cast so far in Chicago. As of Sunday, we've seen over 7,000. Do you have anything more updated?
So Matt's right. That's what we usually see around this time. We're a little bit behind in Chicago comparatively to previous years
when it comes to early voting. Significantly less, right?
Yeah, we're around 7,500 early votes, where we have seen around 13,000 both in 2020 and 2016 at this time.
Are you concerned?
Well, I'm not concerned at this point. We're seeing that vote-by-mail ballots are coming back at a very healthy rate. That puts us ahead of where we were at 2016. We also just have the two downtown locations open right now. Within Chicago, we really see the early vote numbers start to tick up once those ward locations are open. However, we try to keep an eye on what turnout's going to look like.
Yeah.
And, you know, as Matt said, 2020 is very difficult because middle of the pandemic, people wanted to get that vote in as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. Illinois, we're not a battleground state. We are not seeing the type of commercials I think a lot of other areas are.
That's
there's,
the thing, yeah.
There's not that type of pressure that might be putting people to the polls right now or early voting at this time. We're going to see this pick up over the next 3 weeks, and we're expecting the same type of 70% citywide turnout that we've seen for the last four presidential cycles in a row.
That's pretty typical.
Yes.
Yeah, and Matt, you know, to Max's point, political campaigns, I mean, they push for people to vote early. So I'm curious, I mean, does that help on your end too?
Well, it kind of helps that because we can keep track of how many ballots are being cast. And where it really helps us is being able to track how many vote-by-mail ballots have been sent to voters, how many vote-by-mail ballots have been returned and voted by voters. Now, that's not so helpful right now when we're still, you know, 3 weeks out from the election, but it's going to be very, very helpful when we get to election day, because that's when Max and I and all the county clerks and election authorities across the state will start reminding voters that, look, the numbers that you see reported on election night are unofficial. Mm-hmm. And we know that this many vote-by-mail ballots are still in the hands of voters and still may come in and be counted over the 2 weeks after election day. So we always make a point of reminding people of that this could be significant due to the large number of vote-by-mail ballots that we're seeing. Like I said, in 2020, we had 2 million, but, you know, already we have 284,000 that have been returned and voted. And we've got well over a million already sent to voters, and they've still got until October 31st to request vote-by-mail ballots. So we're still going to see a lot more vote-by-mail voters coming forward and getting their ballots. You'll see that number going up right through October 31st. Now, we always discourage people from waiting. If you're thinking about voting by mail, get your ballot now.
Yeah, get it done.
Don't wait until the 31st, because then you run the risk that the post office is not going to get it to you by election day. You're going to be, you know, we can talk about contingencies if that happens, if you want to later. But we always like to tell people, get your application in now.
Yeah.
Make sure you have plenty of time.
So to underscore Matt's point there, statewide, people must apply for mail-in ballots before 5 p.m. on October 31st. And the ballot must be postmarked or placed in a drop box by November 5th, 2024, in order for it to count. And so just so we're clear, Matt, I mean, where do people find their drop boxes? And can this just be dropped in a regular mailbox?
You can mail it back. And if you election jurisdictions are not required to use the ballot drop boxes to have those available. Most of them do. And you can find out which jurisdictions do by coming to our website, elections.il.gov.
Yeah.
Click on information for voters. We've got all the Dropbox locations for all the jurisdictions that have them.
And we're going to get to this later in the show, Max, but as I mentioned earlier, there are a lot of judges on the ballot. Let's be honest, everything listed on the ballot aside from the presidential contest can sometimes be a little confusing for folks. What happens if a voter just leaves something blank?
that's something that a voter can do. You can vote the ballot to your preference. Obviously, to do your civic duty, we do prefer that you do your research and that you come prepared to vote on every race. Mm-hmm. But not every voter is comfortable doing that. And it's two ballots in Chicago this time around. That second ballot, those are all those judicial retention questions
yes.
that people often struggle with because it's a yes or no question. There isn't multiple people running in those races. However, there's multiple resources that are out there. WBEZ is often a great resource. Mm-hmm. But in Justice Watch, there are many different community organizations and nonprofits out there that create their own voter guides that are very
right.
helpful for voters.
And we'll talk to some of those folks later this hour mm-hmm. here on Reset. I want to talk about election security with you, Max. Across the country, we're seeing conspiracy theories of voter fraud and foreign interference from Russia. How do you make sure voters feel confident in the integrity of their vote?
Well, this is a topic that Matt and I have spent a lot of time and energy on in the past few months.
Yeah.
So I'm happy to hear from him, too, because the Illinois State Board of Elections has been a terrific resource for voters, both sharing the messages that we need on social media, fighting back in other places, and also creating a place where people can report the misinformation that they see on social media and other places.
Mm-hmm.
But here in Chicago, we've been putting a lot of effort into reaching voters where they're at. In fact, after this, I'm on my way to the Harold Washington Library for a voting machine demonstration, as well as a presentation on myths and disinformation with different academics and
nice.
Community leaders. And we thank our community partners like League of Women Voters and many others that get involved in these programs. But this gives us an opportunity to talk to voters about some very important talking points, the things that they can ask their very in-depth questions. And it really comes down to, I won't say simple because election law isn't simple, but comes down to some very important protections at the ballot box for people that
yeah.
it's good for them to hear. Like, we are an all paper ballot state, that no machine or no server is ever connected to the internet, that there's always an air gap, that there's always a chain of custody, that in Chicago, we don't have any drive through drop boxes. So all these misconceptions
okay.
or myths that are out there, we can talk with people and we have answers and we have, the ability to show them how our voting machines work, how the specific tags get put on, how things get tracked, that there are dozens, if not hundreds, of federal, state, and local laws that we have to follow,
right.
and how difficult it is to have any type of fraud in elections in 2024.
So, Matt, you know, on the heels of that, I want you to just, before we go, help us understand the certification process here in Illinois. Mm-hmm. And I'm also curious because, you know, if chaos ensues in the wake of the results and we see some sort of repeat of January 6, 2021, what do you say to someone who's worried that Illinois won't vote to certify the election results?
That's a good point, because in 2020, we saw in Michigan where they had the certification of their statewide ballot, and there was some debate whether they would actually vote to certify. That doesn't happen in Illinois. We're governed here by an 8-member board of 4 appointed Democrats and 4 appointed Republicans. Now, they will meet on December 2nd to certify the results of the 2024 general election, but our board sees that duty as strictly ministerial. So what happens is the election happens on November 5th. The local jurisdictions complete their counting of all ballots 2 weeks later on the 19th. That's when all the mail ballots will be counted. We then do a statewide canvass where we take all of the official results from the 108 local election authorities.
Mm-hmm.
We double check them. We work with them to make sure that they're accurate. We complete the statewide canvass, and then our board certifies that. So, and that is strictly a ministerial process.
Right.
There will be no discussion at our December 2nd board meeting about the legitimacy of the vote or whether or not we should certify, any type of discussion like that. I know that that happened in some other states and people saw it and got that idea, but that just doesn't happen in Illinois.
Thank you for clarifying that. That's Matt Dietrich, Public Information Officer for the Illinois State Board of Elections, and Max Bever, who's Director of Public Information at the Chicago Board of Elections. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Linnea Dominic, edited by Dan Tucker, and mixed by Ari Mejia. For more conversations like this one, make sure you're subscribed to our podcast wherever you listen. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for listening, and we'll meet again soon.
My name is Liz, and as a teacher, I think that WBEZ provides endless sources that I can bring back to my students where they can also engage in a deeper understanding. I teach government, I teach U.S. history, and I have used sources from WBEZ in order to help enrich the understanding of my students.